welcome to Burnout in Budapest. And welcome to 2022. It's going to be an interesting year. It's been a while since I did an episode. I've been around. I just have been caught up doing a lot of other stuff. My son, Oliver, is now almost 7 years old, so that's a big job. Teaching at two different educational institutions, which is also has its own challenges. Like everybody, navigating the weirdness of the COVID moment here in history. Been sick a few times myself, actually. I have no idea whether I've actually had COVID or not. I'm vaccinated. I'm not one of those freaks that, you know, insist that they're shooting, you know, I don't know, chips into our veins, you know, or some total nonsense. I'm not even going to get started on that road. We can do a different podcast for that. In other words, I didn't go away. I've been around, just been doing other stuff. Been doing a lot of writing. Since the last time I made an episode, I've actually completed my dissertation and finished my PhD at University of Washington in geography. So I am now Dr. Christopher Robin Cox. It's interesting to be done. I'm not really sure what it means in the end. I have a podcast that I've slowly been chipping away at that's going to cover some of my thoughts about the PhD process and what it means and what it doesn't mean and all of that stuff. Anyway, you know, it's a little bit about what's been happening. I also found out that some of my students, both at the college and at the high school that I teach at, actually listened to the podcast here and there. And not only them, but I've also noticed that that I'm still getting quite a few listens over the past year, which is, that's great. I really appreciate the fact that people are checking it out and that it speaks to someone out there. So I think it's worth keeping it going. There's so much in the world to talk about, so why not talk about it, right? But in line with the idea that some young people have been checking out the podcast, it got me thinking. So this episode actually goes out to the young people, okay? This is specifically about young folks here in Hungary who have an important job coming up in April. So the reason I wanted to do a show is that here in Hungary, we're really at a bit of a political precipice, if you will. Viktor Orban has been in power for way too long. Everybody here in Budapest, let's say everybody in Budapest under the age of 60, pretty much agrees with that sentiment. He did not win the urban core. So in a lot of ways, it's just like... it's like in the U.S., right? You know, if you've got a right-wing Republican president, or in our case, in the case of the United States, too, a right-wing fascist-leaning president, chances are they lost the cities and won the, you know, the outside areas, the counties, if you will, the country voters, right? You know, the dang, those voters, right? Out here in Hungary, they call those people, they call that the potato vote. It's kind of a joke, but it's actually quite serious because it involves government officials going out to the countryside and literally paying folk to come to the polls. In some cases, they give them a sack of potatoes and some other food, and you know, maybe 10,000 forints, which for those of you in America, 10,000 forints doesn't go a long way. In the city, you could get a decent meal for that. That's, you know, for like a couple of good meals out for 10,000 forints. So I mean, you know, it's not nothing. And when you're in the countryside, 10,000 forints go a long way. I mean, you can buy a lot of food at the supermarket with 10,000 forints. So let me just preface this whole episode saying that I am no expert in Hungarian politics. I can barely speak the language. I don't have a lot of friends who are deeply involved in politics here. It's somewhat dangerous to talk about politics here. In other words, you know, I don't have numbers or facts of any sort to back up a lot of what I'm saying about Hungarian politics, okay? What I am talking about is what I hear about on a regular basis. So this potato vote stuff is very, very common to hear about, right? So the countryside and the elderly people generally are how the Fidesz party, which is Viktor Orban's party, that's how they've stayed in power for so long. They continuously win because these voters are, you know, they're sort of like the whipped puppy dogs of, you know, Hungary's state socialist past, right? You know, they've been abused and robbed of their dignity for so long that they don't even know what it feels like to have dignity. They don't know what it feels like to have any political stability. So all they want is a strong man. You know, they want that. You know, there's a little bit of Stalinism in all the old people here, it seems like. They want that strong man leadership, right? They're not interested in your feelings. They're not interested in equality or equity. What they want is security. And they feel like a strong leader is the way that you achieve security. But what they're forgetting is all of the other shit that comes along with that. There's a lot of baggage that follows strong leaders all through history, be it, you know, I mean, obviously you can use the obvious examples of, like, you know, Hitler and Stalin. Those are, of course, always the extreme examples that people use. But, you know, look at Trump. You know, Trump was that sort of, you know, strong leader mentality as well, and he still has these legions of fascist leaning you know, undereducated or underinformed, over entertained and individualist people who see Donald Trump as their way to get back at the American government, you know, to fight back against the loss of their country. You know, they you know, the whole make America great again shit is basically another way of saying, you know, take it back from all those black and brown people, right? Screw equality. We want America back, you know, and America is spelt with three K's. You heard me? Let's not get it twisted. Strong leadership comes with baggage, right? Strength comes with baggage. Not everybody's strong, you know? A lot of us are weak. We are all inherently a little bit weak. We need help. We need guidance. We need empathy from people. We need empathy from our leaders, right? A good leader has empathy. A good leader actually cares whether or not the people they are supposedly leading are leading lives of dignity, right? I mean, isn't that what, you know, this democracy ruse is supposed to be about? I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't think democracy is the best system. I think socialism is. But, you know, we can all dream, right? So, back to the situation at hand. You know, there's been a lot of leaders around the world that lead with a heavy hand, and in some ways that makes people feel a little more secure. And maybe they are more secure in the sense of they don't have to worry about the government shifting back and forth between the right and the left, you know, with revolutions happening every time, right? The United States is very unique. The United States is not had its run-in with real fascism yet. And mark my words, I say yet. I believe that time's coming in the United States. In Hungary, they've gotten real close to straight-up fascism more than once. And we've been through several revolutions, mostly failed. And there's just a lot of history of bad blood coming from the left, you know, what originally came from the left. Maybe there were good intentions, socialist utopias being talked about, all that sort of stuff. But the reality is it didn't go well for Hungary. Hungary got increasingly corrupt. It became more Sovietized, and it basically became a top-down state capitalist system. So nobody here in Budapest has really experienced any kind of real socialism. You know, we had the Gulyás communism, you know, which was kind of a light version of the communist state. But, you know, it wasn't, it never delivered the level of equity the people would demand under a real socialist regime. Maybe for another episode, we can talk about the history of that as well, because some things, and you actually hear this from older people in Hungary, some things were much better when it was still communist. Maybe there wasn't as much freedom to go out and buy property and become wealthy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But everybody had vacation time. No, everybody could afford rent, if you could put away money in your sock drawer for a few years, you might be able to even buy a home. You know, it was not so bad here. You know, but there's periods where it was pretty bad. You know, where people, you know, had to carry your card and you had to wonder if your neighbor was ratting you out, you know, about your political activities. So, you know, again, they experienced some of the equality of a socialist system here, but they unfortunately had to experience a Stalin-esque state-down Sovietized state capitalism here as well, which basically meant the government decided everything for everybody, right? And that's not the idea of socialism at all. And everybody who reads a little bit of Marx and Engels or Lenin or Trotsky or Bakunin or any of them, right, you know, would immediately know that. Okay, I'm wandering. So getting back to the focus of today is that we have an election coming up in April. And there's been a really interesting turn of events here. It's very clear in the urban center that people want to get rid of Orbán. Orbán is moving increasingly in the direction of fascism. He's in a line. He loves Trump. He's Trump's little buddy, you know, although he's infinitely smarter than Trump. So, you know, we absolutely cannot underestimate the lengths that Orbán will go to stay in the power. You know, we cannot make that mistake. He's not just some, you know, Johnny come lately, you know, member of the economic aristocracy who was just handed a bunch of money and then got a TV show and then found himself, you know, like as a joke running for president, right? Orban comes from a very different background. He's, you know, he was at one point not a leftist, but definitely like a left-leaning Democrat. Funded, his campaigns even were funded by Soros, George Soros, as a matter of fact, who now is supposedly the enemy of the Fidesz party. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, hypocrisy involved in the direction that Orban's gone. But over his political career and during the time that he's been the prime minister of Hungary, he's just moved increasingly right. It is now illegal for me as a teacher, both in college and in high school, to talk to my students about, for example, gender fluidity or LGBTQ rights or transgenderism. I am not allowed to talk about those social and those social phenomena because they passed a law literally saying we are not allowed to teach about that. I mean, come on, folks. And that's supposedly to protect our children, you know. And this appeals to, you know, old folks in their 60s and 70s here who, you know, long for a world that was simpler. And you know, you went to church every Sunday and every Friday. And, you know, you get your bag and go to the farmer's market and you know, you live your life and you don't have much in the way of, you know, outward ambitions, right? The young people, they're not having it, you know? Young people here in Hungary are kind of sick and tired of the old world, you know? Expatriates like me, who love Hungarian folk music, for example, you mention Hungarian folk music to an 18-year-old and they're like, nah, I don't want to hear it. You know, they're just done, you know, and that's sad actually. But there is this element of, kind of anti, historicity, if you will, in Hungarian culture with the young people. You know, they just want to move on. They want to be part of the modern world, the postmodern world or whatever. They're sick and tired of all the, you know, the dogma, you know, of like, you know, being, everything must be Hungary is the greatest, you know. They don't, the nationalism, all that stuff. The average young person couldn't give less of a shit about this stuff, right? You know, what they want is they want equality and equity. They want freedom to say and do what they want, you know, to a fault, in my opinion. They want economic freedom as well. So they think it's just their damn right to go and, you know, make as much money as they want and can. They often want to just get out of Hungary. Huge problem with brain drain here, right? Everybody wants to leave here and go to America or Canada. They call it the Canadian dream now. You know, I mean, you get the point, right? There's some pluses and minuses to the fact that the young generation is completely unconnected to the historical traditions of Hungary, right? But this is why we're at a precipice, folks. this is why I'm taking the, you know, the 2 free hours that I have and try to put this podcast together today. It dawned on me, and we have this election coming up in April. I don't think I won't be able to vote in it because I won't have my citizenship yet. But I can give a shit for sure. And I know a whole lot of people who are of voting age on the young side who don't feel like it matters if they vote. I'm gonna attempt to convince them today. Because here's the deal. If Orban wins another election, he's already been in power for more than 10 years. any leader historically who was in power for more than 10 years basically went on to corrupt the shit out of whatever society they were leading. I mean, come on. Who needs a prime minister to be in power for more than like 6 or 8 years? I mean, can we just all agree on that, that is just a freaking travesty to begin with? Get the man out. It is time for him to move on to some other shit, to get out of our face, to take down all of his annoying propaganda posters around the city, paid for with your tax money, FYI. Hungarians, your tax money paid for that shit, okay? There's so many things that have gone wrong in this place during his tenure. You know, he loves to take money from the EU. I mean, we have this beautiful public transit system. We have the best parks I've ever seen in any city in the world. It's all EU money. He's taking money from the EU. He's not paying for that out of tax money. What he's paying for out of tax money is his bullshit politics. That's what's getting paid for. And, you know, we're all paying for that. Young people, older people, everybody who works is paying for that. And here's the thing. Just like in the United States, young people don't vote. Okay? So all these bad leaders that we've had have been brought to us by the old folks. All right? I'm going to say it. Look, I'm 50. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm immature. That's why I can say it. But here's the deal. Old people are the ones messing this up. We're getting these leaders because the old folks are voting them in. So young people, listen to me closely here, okay? If only like 15 or 20% of young people show up to vote and all of those people are in the urban center, guess what? We get another round of Orban, okay? And the next time Orban wins, if he wins, it's going to get ugly. Trust me when I say that. He's got nothing left to lose. He's already unpopular in the city center. He passed laws and regulations that did not benefit the urban center, specifically because he lost the urban center. So what do you think he's going to do if he wins another election? You feel me? So here's the deal. Vote. It's simple. If young people come out in high number, I'm talking if you're 18, vote. I don't give a shit who you vote for. If you just show up and vote for somebody, chances are Orban's going to lose. And the reason why I say that is because all of the other parties, all the parties on the left and all the parties on the right are getting behind Gyurcsány. I'm pronouncing his name terribly. Sorry, Hungarians. Americans, that's relatively close to how you pronounce it. Gyurcsány. He's not the greatest candidate, but he's not Orban. Okay? So he is a way to get Orban out. And all of the parties are coalescing together to push Orban out. This is a unique opportunity for young voters to kick ass and take names. You follow? So in April, I don't know the exact date. I want to say it's April 13th. You'll have to check me on that. If, let's say we had a 60% young person turnout. If 60% of young people voted, there's no way in hell that Orban would win the election. At least that's my guess. Maybe the number has to be a little bit higher. There's probably some people who have some thoughts on that. So the big issue here, folks, is this is about refusing fascism, okay? Young people, you haven't experienced fascism yet. You've experienced a right-leaning government who could easily become fascist. You've experienced some slightly fascist legislation. but you haven't really experienced, you know, the heavy hand of real fascism. Neither have I. I'm American, so the closest I've got is, you know, Trump, and it's done horrible things to the United States. The United States is more divided politically now than it was during the Civil War. I mean, it's bad. It's bad, people. There is an ideological civil war in the United States, and it damn well might become a real, actual hot war, a civil war, if Trump wins again. So, again, strangely, the United States and Hungary find themselves in a very parallel sort of position here. You know, if Orban wins, guess what? We're going the way of Poland, Ukraine, you know, the stands. We're going right. It's going to be the beginning of a sort of, you know, fascist enclave in the eastern half of the EU. That's what's building here, folks. It's no small thing. It's a major historical moment. So if Hungary, the country that is dead center in the middle of Europe and really is the curtain between Eastern and Western Europe, if we can manage to unseat this guy and retain our dignity, then we don't have to go fascist. We can refuse fascism. We're all Antifa at this point. For those of you who don't know what Antifa is, that's that group, right, in the United States, that isn't a group, first of all. It's basically just the name. It's just an abbreviation for anti-fascist, right? Anti-fascism, Antifa. And it is people who do whatever is necessary to fight the rise of fascism in any society, right? So, you know, I got my qualms with democracy. I can't stand liberals, you know, the standard liberal capitalists. I think they've ruined the fucking world. I think in many cases liberal democracies are a complete mess. I think part of the reason why we can't address climate change at the rate that we need to is because there's too much democracy, frankly. And the democracy is used by all the wrong people. I'm not a Democrat by any stretch. I'm a communist. But I'm also smart enough to realize that we can't just go from, you know, a hardcore capitalist world system to some more humane version of that overnight. It's not going to happen. But what can happen is that we can stop the worst movements to the right in countries that are important to that global system, right? Hungary is important. Hungary is a small country, but it plays an important role in Europe. And Europe is very, very important in the global scheme of things. So we're all Antifa at this point. Young people especially, you have a role in it, and I'm not giving you some patriotic nonsense about, you know, go out and vote. Your vote means something. No, I mean, really? Your vote doesn't mean shit. No one cares about you. No one cares what you have to say about anything. Young people have no future because older people have been telling young people that it's your job to fix the problems that my generation created. We've been saying that shit for decades, 100 years now. So, again, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying there's some light at the end of the tunnel. No, that the light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train. But we can choose to get creamed by that train, or we can sort of suck in our guts and straighten our backs and, you know, jump on the side of the tracks and get out of the way of that train. And one of the ways that we can do that is by defeating Orban. Okay? So, in April, the most important thing that you can do as young people is convince all of the other young people around you to vote. If it was me, I would say vote Momentum, because at least in the case of the Momentum Party, we can get some people into the local city, you know, city governments and councils and all that sort of stuff, and into the parliament, who share the values of the new generation. But at the very least, a vote for anybody other than Fidesz is a vote to get Orban out. So the most important thing young people can do is show up, right? Don't, you know, you don't have to organize the revolution. You don't have to, you know, do a sitting protest at the parliament. Sure, do that stuff, but vote. If all you do is show up and protest, it's not going to matter. Orban will send his goons and hose your ass out of the square in a heartbeat, okay? What will matter is that you vote. If you vote and you get this bastard out, that's when the organizing starts. That's when we start the mass sit-ins and the protests against police brutality and the protests against horrible environmental standards and the protests against everything else that has been done in your name with your tax money that doesn't benefit you. So, if there's one message to take from this podcast, vote in April. Use your voice to get rid of Viktor Orban.